Sometimes I feel bombarded by what is happening within my life and within the world. It reminds me of either like a game of whack-a-mole, where you see one probably whack it, and another one pops up and whack that, and then just you get overwhelmed with all the whack-a-moles. The other thing I was thinking of is how when we begin a new school season, either as middle school, high schoolers, college, seminary, you know, anywhere in life, when you see the syllabus and you kind of get this, we call it the syllabus shock, where you're just kind of like this numb void, like, what did I just sign up for? And also, kind of on that same wavelength, those times when we feel like we're trying to take a small sip of water and we find ourselves drinking from a fire hydrant. It's just overwhelming us. So whatever example that we use when we feel overwhelmed or our life is out of control and we receive the help, we change our attitude or our thought process to receive help. The method that we're looking at today is seeing God's mercy to allow ourselves in the spaces we feel supported in to be vulnerable, either in asking for help or taking help being offered to us to navigate the world around us. When we start by trying to slow down the stream of water, which allows ourselves to be mindful in the preparation of our hearts and minds as we are fast approaching Lent, where we're moving from the time and waters of Epiphany and the light of God that shines so brightly that it revealed Christ to us. And we use that light of Christ to guide us out of the darkness of periods of our lives. We are now entering into the season of Lent, which literally interprets as springtime, which I found out. It's like, cool. And it's these 40 days that open the fertile field of making our hearts, our minds, and our souls ready for the growing seasons in the spring, summer, and fall. Where we leave the barren desert, often attributed with repentance, fasting, almsgiving, and prayer, which are all good and dandy within the historical context and within our own context, where we shift towards the welcoming of springtime, so we get ready and we prepare. We shake off the darkness of sin's winter, repenting those things that are holding us back, and allowing ourselves to be surprised by joy. Joy that comes to us through Christ's transfiguration. So we begin by walking through the field with God, being open to the new and unexpected ways of seeing and listening to hear God's voice clearly calling to us. Joining in the streams of living water that cleanse our hearts to nourish not only our own lives, but those around us. When we take the step back to look at the larger picture of today's reading, by gaining that context that this is happening and is occurring to and within the Church of Corinth, toward that town, that community. We look at what is bringing, what has opened that fire hose that brought the waters of trouble, and how Paul and others that missioned to them, that were ministers to them, how they responded to that and where the story has left them. As we continue to look back into 2 Corinthians, we see that he is having a reaction to what has happened since he first wrote the first letter and what is happening within that community, how they're still struggling to join as one and be blended with the understanding of Christ's light with them. Our reading focuses for today on that heart-transforming power of the new covenant that was written, one that takes place not only through the words that were written in the letter to them, but one of the Spirit that is joined with them. We start by narrowing our view to the church in Corinth, who was still trying to figure out that blending process of how they were supposed to live out the commandments given to them, pointing out the differences between what was recorded by Moses, what happened to Moses, and how to live out by Christ. We hear of a community who is struggling, and those who are entering their city to bring contradicting messages of Christ's ministry. Paul is trying to separate and distinguish the differences between those whose eyes are veiled, whose hearts are hardened, from those who have heard about Christ's life and ministry and have responded like Christ, welcoming the change and the newness that's brought about. Paul is slowing down the streams to give them time and room to develop the new culture of understanding that affects not only their daily lives, but their lives in Christ. He's being mindful for those who are struggling with matching what has been with planting the seeds of the new way of living, preparing not only their hearts and minds for spiritual growth, but also the spirit that lives within them as they interact with Christ's new covenant, allowing themselves mercy and grace when they struggle to release what was and taking the time to transform into what Paul desires for them. He's empowering them to have the confidence to go back to the roots of understanding that have gotten lost over time, encouraging them not to lose hope when being introduced to a different way of understanding. It's going to be a little shorter today because I forgot my last two pages at home. This is going to be interesting. See how well I can do this. It's like April Fool's today. Oh my goodness. So anyways, we're talking about being mindful of that heart transforming that is to take place, to prepare not only the fields of their lives, but the seeds that need to be planted to help them with that new living. Allowing themselves to have that mercy and grace that we know so freely for us, to release what we need to release, to take time for that transformation to take place within us. Luther reminds us that it is a continual transformation, that we are continually, daily to be reformed as Christ is calling us to be reformed. It's having that grace to understand that we will make mistakes on our life's journey, that we will trip when things get in our way. Either those things that are going on around us in the world that is continually bombarding our senses, telling us what's wrong, what's going on, and having that moment to step back and just receive that grace, that mercy that we know flows freely from our relationship. Slowing down that fire hydrant of information to really have time to sit still and to be with God. So that transfiguration that is talked about in Corinthians, in our reading in Luke, can happen and is happening within us. It might be a slow process because we are continually, every day, receiving our baptism, remembering our baptism. Every day we have the ability to confess those things that are holding us back and receive that forgiveness that is promised to us every day in that amazing relationship that we have with Christ. So to wrap up, since I forgot my last two pages, but that's okay, is that song that we sang, I'll start with the story. So the song that we sing during the Kyrie, that God have mercy on us. So that song got stuck in my brain this week. And I was like, where have I heard that song? I couldn't remember, so I looked up, and it was like some weird title. And I was like, okay. So I came upstairs, and as I was walking up the stairs, and this is a God moment, John Glasser was playing that song. I'm like, that's where I've heard it. That's the reminder that we have, God have mercy on us each and every day. That grace that we know is free to us, that love that we know is free to us, is received and in turn returned out into the world to touch the lives of those who might be struggling also in this. So this is my message for us today. Amen.